stuck into things on our Thursday show with the Country Racing Show.
We've got all the racing news and people from around Victoria, racing's greatest state.
Welcome along to Coleraine, Bendigo, Ballarat, Warrnambool, Bet365, Geelong. And good morning, everybody, from Swan Hill.
Welcome to the South Turf Club.
All ready. Off they go.
For Country Racing Victoria, this is the Country Racing Show.
Where we belong, country racing strong, it's got it all.
It's a big week for country racing here in Victoria. All eyes on Bendigo on Saturday for the Metro meeting this weekend. And Nikita Ross joins us in the studio. Hello, Nikita.
Good morning, Matthew.
What an exciting week. It's always a terrific program. Matty Stewart, it's one of his favourite meetings of the year. He's been really pumping it up this week. And the fields that we've got as well haven't disappointed. It's a cracker.
No, absolutely fantastic fields. And it is great, isn't it? I ventured out to Bendigo yesterday and spoke to a few of the local trainers, and everyone was in agreement that it's a great initiative to have these kind of races, this prize money on offer at country tracks, and a fantastic track like Bendigo. I think it's fair to say it's well renowned for, you know, it's great racing, it's fair how it plays. So really, really good to see, and hopefully it can potentially happen more often.
Absolutely. And I think in other parts of the world, there isn't the division between metro and country like there is in this country. And Nikita, it's interesting, and it'll be interesting to have a chat to Freddie Kersley about this. We're racing at Pakenham today, for instance, which in every way feels metro. Quality of horses, quality of track, crowds and all that sort of stuff. Cranbourne's feeling the same way. Geelong's got a similar vibe. And particularly on this day, Bendigo is every bit metro. And even if the wagering figures don't quite stack up to, say, Flemington or Caulfield, it's still in that metro. It still feels very metro to me, especially those closer to town. So, and I'm sure Freddie Kersley doesn't feel like he's... when he drives to Bendigo on... No, he won't be, actually, because he's going to New Zealand on the weekend.
That's right.
But driving to somewhere like the Golden Mile will not feel like, to someone like Fred Kersley, like they're driving to a country meet. It'll feel very much like a city meet. So, and Pakenham and these places. So I think that the gap's closing between perception-wise.
Where does that perception come from, do you think, Matty? Where does it stem from? Why in this country is there that view and not elsewhere around the world?
Well, it's geographical here for a start, because the metro tracks are literally metro, but and that's the ones with the big prize money and the big races. But things are changing with Pakenham and Cranbourne particularly, and you'd know that, Nikita, through your role with Country Racing Victoria, that it's starting to feel like they're getting closer and closer to similar status.
Yeah, I think so. I'd agree with that. It's there probably is a particularly Cranbourne and Pakenham, like you said.
Yep.
All right, well, let's kick off our first guest on the show today with Freddie Kersley on the road. I've got no doubt Freddie will be somewhere on the journey to Kilmore as we speak. And last time we had him on, we learnt that he drives a Mercedes, and he was more than happy to tell us, I think.
Dropped it very early in the conversation.
Very, very early. Hey, Freddie, good morning. How's the Merc going up the highway today?
All right, guys, how are we? She's going along good.
And one of the downsides for you, for your cousin Lily working for us, is that she feeds us little video vignettes every now and then, and I think it might be already loaded up. Tell us about a couple of little vids you've got and some photos. You've got some small little squat companions these days, four of them. What's that all about?
Yeah, Dachshunds, they're a real man's dog. Now, I tell you what, they suit my lifestyle. They're pretty lazy. They're tame. They don't need much exercise, so they're make good companions.
Fred, you're not venturing to Bendigo this weekend. However, we were just having a chat before we got you on air about how it's fantastic that these country clubs get the opportunity to showcase their tracks and have races for some really good prize money. And I'm sure you would agree that Bendigo is a really good place to race.
Yeah, look, I just caught the back end of your conversation there. And obviously, I'm not going to Bendigo, but it's days like that and meetings like that that, yes, Bendigo's a country track, but in fairness, generally it's good racing surface, it's a beautiful track to ride at, and from a rider's point of view, even if you're going there on a Saturday, it still feels like a metro meeting. You've obviously got, yes, the better quality of horse, But yeah, just from a rider's point of view, it still feels like you're going to a metro meeting.
By contrast, some country tracks feel very much like country tracks. Kilmore, it goes without saying that there have been some trials and tribulations in recent times. How is it racing these right at this point in time, Freddie?
Yeah, look, it's, I haven't found any problems with it. I've been very happy with the surface put on offer. Yes, maybe a few weeks ago, when we had that warmer weather, the track, there was a little bit of bias and the track was firming up, but you see time and time again that happens to city tracks as well. So no issue for me, but I think it really, the crux of it comes down to the quality of your horse at the meeting, to whether it feels like a metro or purely a country meeting.
Hey, Freddie, today you've got a few rides for the Blue Army. You've ridden, obviously, for Godolphin quite a bit before, and you've also been doing some riding for Gay Waterhouse and Adrian Bott. And Gay Waterhouse was on Breakfast with Half earlier in the week, and this is what she had to say when she was talking about yourself.
There's another young man, Daniel, another young man come on board, all the way from Perth, and that's Fred Kersley.
Oh, yes.
I like him very much. Yeah. I think he's got raw talent, a bit wet behind the ears, but he's going along in the right direction.
Well, he'd be wet behind the ears because those four dashhounds are probably licking him behind the ears. Hey, that's a nice rap from the Queen of the Turf there, Frederick.
Yeah, look, it certainly is. Brings a smile to me. I've had a little bit to do with Gay over the past month and a bit. Been working closely with her, and if she can take me under her wing, I'm sure I can. She might make me into a half-decent rider one day.
Fred, having a look at your rides that you've got today at Kilmore, kicking off race number one, you've got Shrimp Drawn, barrier number, comes out of barrier number six there. What are your thoughts on this runner?
Yeah, Shrimp, for memory, I rode in Live Star to at Kaiden. I thought it worked the line well enough. Not sure whether he was, he might have been first up, but look, he worked the line well. It was an encouraging run, and I think today, coming out of barrier six, he'll need a few things to go his way, but you can always have a little bit of confidence when they're running in the Royal Blue.
Speaking of the Royal Blue, and there are other Royal Blue rides today, it's always fascinating because it's almost the number one stable in a way for a jock to be associated with, and Ollie's drifted in and out. Mellum's in the swing at the moment. Jamie Carr's on the sideline. She wears a blue vest very often. How has this relationship evolved for you with the stable, and how much direct communication with James Cummings?
Look, I think it was just more so right time, right place. Come about, in a winter where we had a few jockeys on the sidelines through COVID, and the relationship, it really just came from riding a lot of maiden winners in the country and blossomed to, my success in the Daniel on Calla, having five rides for them on Derby Day, premier meetings. I've been very grateful for the opportunities that James has thrown my way. And look, with my small part that I play in their stable, I just mostly speak to Reg Fleming and James. I'd probably talk to James every day that I'll ride for him. I'll talk to him on the way to the races and just touch base. They're the stable that you need to have in your side as being a rider in Victoria, that's for sure.
I remember James McDonald, I think it was after winning the Cox Plate, he was talking about his relationship with James Cummings and how he's always got something for him. There's always something left field or different that he's got to say. Does he come out with a couple of zingers to you, Fred?
Yeah, he does. I think probably why James and I get along so well. majority of it, we talk about the weather and life, and he always comes up with something brilliant left field and a saying, and quite often I find myself writing down on the top of my form guide whatever strange saying or whatever he's left me to think about. And I find myself pondering about it throughout the meeting.
I think you've got a similar quirky take on life. I think being a passenger in a car on a long road trip with Fred Kersley and James Cummings would be quite a kind of quirky, Fred.
Yeah, no, quirky would be a good way to put it. But I think when it comes down to the horse, he's one of the most astute trainers I've come across. And, you know, you've noticed the wrong hair on a horse, that's for sure.
Can you break the maiden on it now? You're on Monomac as well today?
Yeah, look, I like to think so. Monomac, she's been a little bit of a frustrating one. She's run some very good races at Kilmore and been beaten by the barrier. I think we took out a last guard at Ballarat that she is a better chaser. And I think I haven't spoken to James yet, but I dare say we'll be riding her that way. And Araya, well, look, I think she might be the ride of the day. There's a couple of tough ones in this race to get past, but confident with the way she's going, and you know, every time I start on her, she's giving me a nice feel, so that's a big positive.
Just on that money muncher Manamek, I see blinkers are on today. Is that the little trick?
I don't know if it's a little trick or if I don't know if we're getting desperate. I dare say they should be doing the trick, and just as I touched on last start at Ballarat, we really learned that she likes to be doing.
Might have been that dead spot on the way to kill. Oh, we got him back. Are you there, Fred?
Yep. Yeah, we there.
Yep. Just flattened out for a minute.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. As I said last start, I think she enjoys chasing rather than being chased, and with the addition of the blinkers, just might help her focus when she's running down late.
And what about the opportunity this weekend to ride in New Zealand at the big Group 1 meeting over there? Freddie, this is a huge opportunity for you, and you've got some terrific rides as well.
Yeah, look, it's a handy book of rides. I've been toying with the idea of popping over there because I've heard so much about it of late, and really right place, right time. I didn't have anything incredibly flash at Bendigo, and obviously we know how much of a bridesmaid in Group 1s I've been over here, so look, I'm hoping to pop over the ditch and try and steal one off them. But you know, look, it's a handy book of rides, and there's a nice three-year-old filly there headed in the right direction in the name of Chevelle Dior. I think she's a nice staying prospect at the time.
That's in the Manawatu Classic there. It's, I think, the second favourite currently in that race at Awapuni over the weekend. Hey, Freddie, appreciate you joining us this morning, mate. All the best today at Kilmore. Good luck with your rides there for the Blue Army. Hopefully you can break a couple of maidens. Good luck over the weekend, and all the best handling those four sausage dogs at home.
cheers, guys. Always a pleasure. Take care.
He's likability factor very high, isn't it? Harry, we always speak about Harry Coffey, who's joining us at the Windermere Hotel.
Brilliant.
He's going to be our star act between 11 and 12 at our coverage on Saturday. But I'd equal swap Freddie and Harry.
Yeah, they'd make a good combo at a dinner.
For Country Racing Victoria, this is the Country Racing Show.
Yeah, it sure is. You're with Matt Nevitt, Matt Stewart and Nikita Ross this morning. And we're about to be joined by Matt Enright, who has a very interesting runner at Bendigo on Saturday. And I know Nikita was at Matt's property yesterday having a look at things, and he joins us. Hello, Matt.
Good morning. Or is it afternoon?
It's just morning. You've snuck in by just a couple morning. Of minutes. You've snuck in by a couple of minutes.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, you've got a very intriguing runner on the home deck on Saturday, Buoyant C. Tell us a little bit about it.
Oh, we brought him from New Zealand. He had some solid form. So we thought we'd take the plunge and have a crack at him. And he's been over in Australia for about 9 weeks now. So everything seems to be on track with him.
The Kiwi form is on the crest of a wave, Matt, isn't it? I mean, you've got black type performances with this... with buoyant sea and every Kiwi horse that steps foot on Australia just seems to dominate. It must give you a confident vibe coming into Saturday.
The resurgence of the Kiwis.
The Kiwis are back.
They are coming back. We've been in the doldrums for a while, but we are back.
You should work for tourism in New Zealand. Hey, what's the why are you back, Maddie? Why are the Kiwis back?
Well, I'm not really sure. It's interesting because we struggled probably 5 or 6 years ago. We were going absolutely nowhere. And now all of a sudden, obviously, we've got different stallions now. There's a lot more sprinter milers over there. So, and obviously there's an outstanding band of broodmares, and it's great country for raising young horses. So I think all those things sort of put together makes up a good recipe.
Matt, you've drawn barrier 9, race number 9. How do you see the race playing out tomorrow? Saturday, I should say.
Well, I'm just hoping that he just leaves the gates mutually and Ben just rides them how he's going. Like, he's not a real dasher, really, so in his win at Riccarton, he was back and was a bit aggressive and obviously came home like a rocket. So I'm sort of hoping to try and replicate that, to be quite frank.
Obviously, first up, 1,100 metres. Beyond Saturday, what sort of hopes and expectations do you have for him?
Well, it's just let's look at Saturday and we take it from there. You know, like, he's giving me the feel that he's won over 1,400 in New Zealand and run really good time. He's run under 122, so for 1,400, and he was still strong at the end of that. So I just think there's certainly the option to get to a mile with him, you know. So even though he's been very effective at the sprint distances, obviously they're a bit slicker over here in Australia than they are in New Zealand. His races in New Zealand have been a little bit soft early. So we'll just play it by ear. We'll have a look at, assess him after Saturday and go from there.
You mentioned he ran a really quick time in New Zealand over 1,400, and you mentioned these really good sires in New Zealand. I'm curious about Delgar, his sire, and according to the stallion profile from his stud farm in New Zealand, Delgar, over 1,400 metres at Longchamp, ran 1,400 metres in 117.4 at Longchamp, and his last 200 metres in 9.7 seconds. That's... I don't know whether that was an extraordinary one-off performance, but the old man of your horse looks like a pretty good horse.
Well, he hasn't really left anything, to be quite frank. Mm-hmm. He's a bit like a Crossways, and who obviously left Vander Cross, and Sunline, and her father didn't leave much. So you know, like Delgar, he probably should have been brought earlier, this horse, but I think the father put sort of what he was doing in New Zealand was not anything you'd be sort of hunting for. So I realise he ran that time, that father, but I'm wondering how actually far he actually ran, because 117 sounds extreme, doesn't it?
It has to be wrong, is what I'm thinking. Like, you just cannot run 1,400 in 117 unless he was flight line.
Well, I would have thought that myself, you know, but I can't see how that can be correct, you know.
Especially given most of his subsequent progeny couldn't have run 1,400 in 130.
Exactly right.
Hey, Matt, you've got some great facilities there at Bendigo based near the track, and obviously I was out there yesterday, and you've got the Water Walker, which you've got use of, and plenty of other trainers utilise it as well. So tell us a little bit about the setup that you've got there.
Yeah, so we took over on about 6 weeks ago, and obviously he's got facilities for stabling horses inside and out, and obviously my Water Walker that we have here is salt chlorinated, so it's like bringing the beach to Bendigo, which we need badly. And So we're obviously putting out there for trainers to utilise. We've had various horses here, cutting horses and German ponies. We're getting trotters. Obviously, we've had some new clients as in Roll the Dice have been giving us horses. Nathan Hobson, Lee and Shannon Hope. So it was a venture that we were a bit hesitant about taking on because it wasn't going that well before we sort of came in here. And but it's been great actually. Like it's really taken off. We've basically tripled the numbers and each week, and it's been a good asset. And a lot of the local trainers are using it now. So I just keep harping onto them. You can't train at the beach in Bendigo, but you can at the Water Walker.
Well, that's right. And I reckon there's a few sleeping giants. Geelong, I keep thinking Geelong's a sleeping giant in country Victoria, and Wangaratta has become quite a large country training centre, Matt. And Bendigo just seems an obvious. I know there's a lot of creating new stables and up there. It's probably it's surprising it hadn't happened earlier. It's the Nursery of Champions. It's a beautiful big city. It's a great racetrack. It's almost taken a long time to catch on that Bendigo should be a training growth area.
Oh, it really surprises me, Matt, to be quite frank, because we've got plenty of land, we've got great training tracks, we've got two great grasses, and there's an option to put another galloping grass track in. We've got two sands that we can work on. We've got a bridle path where you can give your horse a different environment instead of going to the track every day. It is highly unutilised.
Why Ballarat, not Bendigo? You know how Ballarat became the exploder?
Yep.
Bendigo is so central. It's sort of weird in a way that they didn't operate at the same pace.
Well, it works like this, Matty. If you walked into a car yard and there was no cars, you wouldn't walk in there, would you?
No.
We've got no stable.
It just took me 5 seconds to get the analogy, but now I'm with you.
Yeah, so we've got no modern stables for safety, for one, for having horses in a safe environment, two, being able to get to the track in the space of 2 or 3 minutes. To obviously get work riders and get horses worked, so a lot of the people here they don't actually work for the stable. They ride track work and that's it. So, like, the environment is here, but we don't have the infrastructure, and that's what is missing big time in Bendigo. And it needs to happen because I can see a lot of these country tracks are going to be closing down in years to come. And we need to build something big in Bendigo. I think it's 120,000 people live in the city. Like, it's got everything going for it. All we need to do is put the infrastructure in place. So it needs to happen.
Absolutely. We've spoken a lot about Geelong, and Bendigo's no different. We've got to capitalise on the potential and the opportunity that's there. Hey, Matt, looking forward to seeing Buoyant Sea on Saturday on the home deck. Enjoy Bendigo Golden Mile Day, and thanks for jumping on.
Much appreciated. All the very best.
This may surprise you. How big do you think Bendigo is compared to Ballarat?
Well, I always growing up thought it was just slightly bigger, like, you know, a handful of thousand bigger. That was always my...
Ballarat was or Bendigo
no,
was?
No, Bendigo just a touch bigger.
Yeah. What do you reckon?
I would have probably said Ballarat.
Yeah. Ballarat's just...
Bigger, is it?
Yeah. Okay. Just, so it's 117,000 population versus 107. So they're equal.
Yeah, right.
I'd love to talk to Country Racer Victoria and to the Bendigo Jockey Club about why Ballarat, the explosion only happened in the last decade. And I'm curious to know what Ballarat had that Bendigo didn't, you know? We're talking about Project X, which the Racer Victoria has just spent a fortune on. Well, Bendigo's just north of Project X. Could it have been Project X, you know?
Yeah, it's a very good question. There probably is an answer there to it, Matty, somewhere underneath all of that. Yeah, I reckon there would be. This is an interesting text, Nikita. You'll enjoy this. We've got a friend who likes to SMS in and just have little pot shots at Matt. His name's John from Highton. You'll recall John from Highton, Matt. He was the one with the free share of the Buenos Notches bet. Yeah. Yes. So he says, "Hey, Matty Stewart, I heard you saying on air on Tuesday that the Bendigo Cup is getting lost. I texted in the same thing a couple of months ago and you disregarded it, saying the Country Cups are in their right place. Why the turnaround?"
I don't think I would have said that because I've never believed that. I've always felt that the spread... I got in trouble with CRV a couple of years ago for writing that there was too much of a cluster of them in the one time in the spring. So, no, I think Harry from Highton's not
John.
Quite... John, sorry, yeah. sorry.
Might be his middle name.
John Harry. Might be Brian with a Y. I always get in strife for overspeaking, but I think... Golden Mile would have been interesting to talk to Matty Enright about whether he shares the view of me and Josh Julius and others about the unlimited potential of the Golden Mile.
Yeah, it's a big race day on Saturday. Looking forward to that. Nikita, after this weekend, we've got all eyes on the Country Discovery meeting there at Geelong for Good Friday this year, which is exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. As we know, it's only a recent development that we now race on Good Friday. Sale had the meeting last year and we moved to Geelong this year. So it's really about showcasing the country and country tracks and getting the community involved on Good Friday. So the Geelong Racing Club have done a terrific job of marketing this in their area, and hopefully we can get plenty of people along next Friday. $5 from every ticket sold will go towards the Good Friday appeal. I know there's a few different things happening from RV, CRV, and the industry in general for the Good Friday appeal. So that should be a terrific day. Fingers crossed for the weather, and would encourage anyone in the vicinity to take a drive down to Geelong and get along to the Good Friday meeting.
And I think the Good Friday placement has been to tie in with where the Easter crowds go.
Yep.
Sale, Gippsland Lakes, Lakes Entrance, and Geelong, obviously, Ballerine. So it's...
Yep.
They're pivotally placed, aren't they, Nikita?
There's a flood of people down there for that weekend, isn't there? They've always got bells on as well.
Bells on. Footy bells, all sorts of things.
And so many people go down there. So, yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to that. And then it's only a couple of weeks until Warrnambool as well. We can start getting excited about that.
Yeah, really sprung upon us, hasn't it, Warrnambool? But only a month away, that's going to be a lot of fun. Always is. We chatted about it last week, and really looking forward to that as well. As we know, the jump season has kicked off, and we spoke about it briefly. I think that a lot were trialling and there's good numbers. We didn't see that many at the last jumps meeting. However, you've just got a feeling that they're in the works and they'll be produced over the next couple of weeks, Matty.
Well, Terang yesterday, they had a lot of jumps trials, and Tommy Ryan rode a couple. Some of the big stables and jockeys were there, and Hamilton, of course, on Sunday.
Looking forward to it. Nikita, have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy Bendigo. It should be a fabulous afternoon of racing. Back a couple of winners, and we'll catch up next Thursday.
We'll try our very best. Thanks, Matt.